Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends from Breadbox Media. And joining me on today's podcast is a dear friend and a woman that I really, really admire. Katie Prejean McGrady is not only an international speaker and best-selling author, but also the project manager for an amazing new project with Ave Mary Press called Ave Explores. Katie is the author of Follow and Room 24. And very interestingly, she served as one of three delegates for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to the pre-synod meeting on young people, faith, and vocation. Discernment that was held in Rome in 2018. We love following her on all places social media. Welcome to the show, Katie Prejean McGrady.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, it's a delight. And of course, like the next best thing would be to interview Rose about her mom.
But we're not there just yet.
Today's podcast, I predict in 18 months, Rose will be available for interviews.
Oh, probably so.
Today's project that we're going to be discussing, Ave Explores, is something really fascinating that's been coming down the pike from Ave Maria Press. But before we dive into that, I just want to catch up with you a little bit on your story, maybe for people who haven't met you before or encountered your work. Tell us a little bit more about where you are in your faith journey and your family's story.
So I am a wife and mom, and, you know, I have a lot of hats that I like to wear oftentimes for both professional life and then in personal life. And so really where I'm at right now has very much been trying to find balance between all of that. My husband is a biology teacher. My daughter is two and just recently started a pre-K two program 4 days a week. So we're learning what life looks like when you wake up in the morning and got to get out the house. Which is great because then it gives me 5.5 hours in the daytime to like get things done. And then when she comes home, we have time together. And really kind of learning how all those pieces fit together, how all those different hats I get to wear, wife and mom, speaker and author, project manager, how all of those fit together into this puzzle that is me, and making sure that each one of them gets its fair share and each one of them really is able to augment and enhance the others. I'm 30. I just turned 30 this summer. And that was kind of in my head, the trigger of, all right, you've got to get your life together. Not that it wasn't together before, but it's like, you know, your 20s, you get to kind of mess around, and it's your 20s, you get plenty of time. But now all of a sudden 30, oh man, like that's not far away from 40. That's not far away from 50. My mom's about to turn 60 and she's like on the verge of like, oh my goodness, like looking back on her life and being really proud of it, but also like wondering like what's the next chapter. And so I kind of feel like I'm smack dab in the middle of all of that. And it's just, it's sitting back and watching the Lord's hand and watching him do the things that he's doing and the places that I get to go. I really have a privilege of place. I get to travel 100,000 miles a year, all over the country, all over the world, talking about how much God loves us. And every time I'm on a stage, I look around, I'm like, how the heck did I get here? And why me? And what's the point of this microphone in my hand? And then, you know, it's a conversation afterwards or an email or even just like a walk through the airport and something happens providentially. And you're like, wow, that was why. This is the moment. This is what Jesus wanted me to pay attention to. And then just praying a simple thank you.
I think, Katie, one of the reasons that I so delight in watching you is that I'm still on that journey myself. As someone who just turned 56, I'll tell you, you still have so much great joy ahead of you. But I love and want to really affirm where you are in your journey and how openly you shared. I know you don't share everything, but I want you to know that you encourage us so greatly. And I cheer for you and I pray for you all the time. So I pray.
Well, thanks.
I I pray to Our Lady of the Jet Bridge quite frequently for you and your family.
She's my girl.
Yeah.
My girl.
I have a million questions for you. But I think I want to start with Ave Explores, which is, you know, this beautiful project that's about to take on the topic of Mary. Tell us a little bit more about what's involved here and what we can hope for if we sign up to be a part of Ave Explores.
Yeah, so I'll back up and kind of tell the story of where the idea came from. Back in the spring of 2018, so Rose was not even a year old yet, and I was at LA Congress, which I go to every year as a speaker, and I was having a conversation with Tom Grady, who's the publisher at Ave Maria Press, and you know, he and I have become friends over the years because my husband's name is Tommy McGrady, so we always kind of find it funny that he's got like half of Tommy's name, and we've just become pals, and I've written a couple of books with them and have grown in relationship with all those people, and they've become friends. And he said, you know, Katie, I want you to tell me in the next 3 to 5 years, where do you want to be with your career? And do you want to keep traveling like this? And I said, well, I love to travel. I love getting on and off of planes. I love getting to see all these cool places and do all these really cool things. But Rose is getting to the age where she notices mommy is gone. And now that she's 2, she points at airplanes and she says, mama. So she knows that that's how mama gets to work. And we've conditioned her to understand that, as Daniel Tiger has taught us, grownups always come back. So mommy goes and then mommy comes home. So it's our normal, but it is challenging. And so he really wanted me to just kind of, if you could write your ticket, if you could come up with your dream job, what would it be? And what would you be doing? And how can we as Ave Maria Press help that? And I love that. They're a publisher that doesn't just care about making books and making money. They care about making books with good people that are then able to kind of contribute to the field, and that they want to take care of their authors. And I love that about them. And so we started just kind of dreaming and scheming. What would it look like if Ave produced free, really solid Catholic content? And so it was kind of sitting in the back of all of our heads. And then the Synod on Young People happened. And that was in October. And I went to the pre-synod in March. And so in October, we decided while the synod was going on, Ave Maria Press was going to do a series of emails every week to all of the subscribers that signed up for it. We had about 1,000 people doing it, reading and looking through and just kind of taking a deep dive look, is the language we used, at the Synod on Young People. So what's happening? Why does this matter? What does this mean for the landscape of youth and young adult ministry? So that led to a deeper conversation. Well, what would it look like if we did this on other topics? What would those topics be? What would this provide for the church? What would this provide for normal, faithful, everyday Catholics who go to Mass on Sunday and love Jesus and have crucifixes in their homes and want to be better Catholics? And what would it look like for people who want to get to know things about the Catholic faith, maybe new converts or people who are thinking about converting, or non-Catholic brothers and sisters who are curious and want to learn, and maybe there's some seeds that are planted. And so we sat down and just kind of visioned it. And then again at LA Congress in 2019, we really put pen to paper and decided this is how we want it to look. And as we started discerning, Mary just kept coming up as this needs to be the first topic. I mean, and we were talking about doing everything, and we've got more series planned, stuff on Catholic art and architecture, stuff on social justice, stuff on mental health from the lens of the Catholic Church, all sorts of stuff, literature and television and just all these topics. But we knew we needed to start with something that was both captivating and inviting and also familiar. And Ave Maria Press, right? Hail Mary Press, for lack of a better way to put it. Why the heck not pay attention to Mary first? And I like to think she's looking down, smiling, and kind of giving us that Marian wink of like, I knew this is what you were going to do. It's just like the moment at the wedding at Cana where she goes up to Jesus and goes, they have no more wine, right? Like Mary just kind of like tapped us on the shoulder and was like, you're going to talk about me, and we're gonna talk about my son as a result of this. And so it's been a really cool adventure, and what people are in store for. And I'm telling you all that story because I think that the background of how we arrived at this is very much we want people to be able to open their inbox once a week, and there's going to be incredible articles, really great podcasts and videos about Our Lady from a variety of Catholics that you've both heard of that are out there in the Catholic media world, and people that you've never heard of, people that are completely new to the scene but have something to say, and really help you just dive deeper into your relationship with and your understanding of Our Lady. and it's all free and it's completely and totally like non, like if you want to sign up for 1 week and you don't like it, you can unsubscribe. If you want to sign up for 1 week and jump on the website and buy 1,000 books, you can do that too. If you want to find something in the middle, that's great as well. It's just for you. It's for the everyday Catholic who wants to go deeper in their faith and meet Our Lady.
Beautiful. I love that Ave has arrived at this formula, because I think we see all of our Catholic publishers acknowledging the fact that, or at least the smart Catholic publishers, acknowledging the fact that people take in their information and their education differently these days than they did 25 years ago. And I can affirm Tom's spiritual mentorship in my own writing and recognize as a fellow Ave author that their interest in developing voices within the church is not to do sort of one book and then sell as many as we can and then move along, that they're really looking to develop voices within the church that will be long-standing, you know, people who accompany you on your spiritual journey. And so I love that they've recognized that, you know, through this, that they can kind of reach out to, with you at the helm, using new voices, finding trusted older voices and growing this. So what will each week's email look like when it comes?
Yeah, so it'll be right at the top, kind of an overview of here's what's in this email article, you know, just kind of quick little summaries. And then every week there'll be 3 articles and a podcast or a video, sometimes both a podcast and a video, depending on how the editing process happens on my end. But 3 articles at minimum and a podcast or video that takes a different, you know, approach to Mary. So like week one is very much an overview. Here's Mary, here's why she matters, and here's how you can talk to your non-Catholic friends about Mary and why she's so important to us. One of the weeks we talk about Mary in the life of the family. I'm really, really excited about that one. 1 week we take a look at how Mary is a model of authentic femininity and how Joseph is a model of authentic masculinity. And I'm really excited about that because we've got Claire Swinarski, the host of the Catholic Feminist podcast, and then Patrick Nevy, a recent grad of Franciscan, who are going to kind of help us with that topic. We've got a really cool article in there one of the weeks about Mary and pop culture and ways that Mary has kind of appeared in television and movies and music without us even realizing it. And that's from Maria Johnson. And I'm really excited about that one. And then kind of in the midst of all of that, I'll be doing videos very similar to how I did for the first Ave Explorers on the Synod, where it's basically just I'll kind of take a topic or a phrase from of an encyclical and just unpack it with our viewers. I actually just scheduled right before we hopped on this recording, we're going to take a tour of my home diocese's cathedral, the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, which was just restored. It was a $15 million restoration that took 2 years, and it just got rededicated this past weekend. And it's
wow,
a beautiful cathedral that tells a story of Our Lady, smack dab in the heart of, you know, Catholic country in South Louisiana. So on I-10 from Houston over to New Orleans, you've got dozens and dozens of churches, and a lot of them have this Marian theme, and it's incredible. And so what readers can expect is that this is not super threatening and it's not super overwhelming. It's very much bite-sized chunks of explanations and explorations of Our Lady. And so they'll come into your inbox every Tuesday starting October the 15th and running into right before the week before Thanksgiving. And you know, they'll pop into your inbox. You'll get to open it up. You can read them right then. You can save them for later in the day. You can forward them and share them, which is what I'm sure my mom's going to be doing. And they're there for you.
I'm hoping that there'll be a dialogue that builds up around these, that it's not just something that we consume for ourselves. You mentioned your mom sharing them. And I think that's one of the great gifts of social media now, that, you know, that you can take something that you're inspired by and not just share it, but also start a conversation about it. How do you foresee that playing out, Katie, as someone who loves using social media?
Yeah, I mean, one of my biggest hopes is that as we cross-post things on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, that we do what a lot of these really well-known Catholic Instagram pages and Facebook pages have done, which is allow dialogue to happen in the comments. So Blessed Is She does a phenomenal job of this in all their different regional groups, and women just being able to share prayer requests or ask questions or have conversations around certain topics. We don't want people to, like you said, we don't want people to just passively consume, oh, that's interesting, but maybe Father Father Edward Looney's article about how to talk to your non-Catholic friends about Mary leads to a conversation with your non-Catholic friends about Mary, or leads to a conversation with your Catholic friends about how you can better talk about her. Maybe that article about femininity gives you an inspiration to get together for coffee with your girlfriends and talk together about John Paul II's letter to women and what that does to inspire and instill within us this belief that women have this feminine genius to share with the world and what that can look like. I am all about authenticity on social media, so the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, and dialogue and fruitful conversation. And sometimes, you know, social media can be a place of, and I've said this plenty of times, especially when the trolls appear, it can be a place of vitriol and anger, but it's also a place where prayer intentions are shared and a place where people congratulate you on good news and a place where people share the happiest moments of their life. I met my husband on Facebook. I'm not going to ever knock social media because it gave me the life that I have today. And we invited Mark Zuckerberg to our wedding. He didn't come, but we invited him because we wanted to say thank you for this platform that gave us this moment to communicate with one another. And so I really, the same way that when Mary said yes to Jesus and opened up the door for all of us to have a relationship with Christ, I want these articles and this content to open up doors for conversation and connection and friendship with each other as we grow in friendship with Mary.
Katie, is the idea that Ave Explorers will take a seasonal approach, so you'll have this season that's going to be in the fall, and then you'll take a new topic on, for example, in the winter or spring seasons?
Yeah. So we've got four planned for every year. So Mary in the month of the Rosary in October is really why we wanted to kick her off, along with the fact that she just was in our heads. And then in the December month, so starting right around early December, we're going to take a look at mental health. And this was something as we were discerning and kind of coming up with all of our different topics, you know, everybody obviously kind of knows the general statistic that suicide rates go up during the holidays because people become more focused on what they don't have. And so there's kind of this hole in a lot of people's lives. And I'm no mental health expert. I've been doing a lot of research and learning and having conversations with experts to learn more about this topic. But we've got quite a few really cool therapists that have jumped on board to write for us kind of the Catholic approach to not just issues of mental health, but also issues of relationships and ways that we can help our brothers and sisters who struggle in these areas. During Lent, we're going to take a look at social justice, especially ways that Catholics in the everyday can respond to the big cultural crises that we're facing. So the immigration crisis, the abortion debate, issues concerning euthanasia, which has just been discussed most recently in Seattle and kind of this big blow up there, ways that we as Catholics can get boots on the ground into these issues that do concern us both on a large level, but also on a local level. And then we're going to begin the summer, so right around May into June, and I'm really, really excited about this one. We're going to do a look at Catholic art and architecture across the United States and basically give like a pilgrimage guide to different areas of the country. So churches you can visit and really cool Catholic things going on that you can do with your family or with a group of friends, and kind of what's the story of our faith being told in the buildings and in the holy sites in this land that we have, and how can we go see them and live our faith there. So yeah, seasonal approach, topical, based off of kind of what's going on in the zeitgeist, and then what was really speaking to our hearts as we were planning out these series.
And you'll be building a full compendium so people can go back later on if they missed one of the seasons and dive in more deeply. That's amazing. So how can people sign up? I know this because I just did it right before we talked, but how would you advise that people become a part of it?
Yeah. So first and foremost, go like all of the Ave Maria Press social media pages. So Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter will give you all of the articles the day that they drop in October. But then also, if you go to Ave Maria Press's website, avemariapress.com, and you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see an Ave Explorers kind of banner on the right-hand side. So you just click on it, you put your email in, and you'll get confirmation later on that, hey, you've signed up. We're so excited to have you. And then starting October 15th, you'll start getting the content directly to your email. And I'm happy to admit, I am the worst about email. It takes me forever to reply. I've got about 650 right now sitting in my inbox, some of which have been read and don't need a response, but I haven't archived them yet because I'm a millennial and just text me. That's the quickest way to get in touch. But this kind of an email, I love when I get content and then it's just kind of there and I can go back to it if I want it and I can forward it if I want it. So signing up for the emails will give you kind of the reminder every week. Hey, this stuff is here. We want you to read it. This is for you. It's totally free and it's really good.
Yeah. And don't worry, friends, we'll have a link in our show notes at lisahendy.com for you to get a hold of that email sign up and also to all of the Ave social media and especially to Katie's social media, because you don't want to miss following her. Katie, I want to talk. I just want to pivot for a moment and talk to you a little bit about your personal work. Now, you are always on the go and always writing and speaking. What kind of fuels your prayer life to enable you to do all of this? Because we know that we can't give what we don't have. So I've wondered often kind of what a typical day in your prayer journey looks like.
So I, again, classic millennial, I'm very attached to my phone. And so I realized, I guess it was about a year ago or so, that because I'm spending so much time on my phone, both on social media and emails and just even Facebook for work at times, that I need to let the device work for me rather than me work for the device. And so I installed a bunch of Catholic apps. So the Laudate app, and I've got my bookmarks on there of my daily prayers. So before my feet even hit the ground, I've done my morning offering. I've read the gospel for the day and kind of thought about, okay, what line is speaking to me? What do I need to kind of have in my head as I'm moving through my day, which since Rose started school has become a little more structured and routine and organized. But before she started school was very much a, okay, how can I be more patient? How can I be more focused on her? How can I be a little more open to the surprises of the day kind of thing? My husband and I usually try to say a rosary together, at least a couple decades together in the evening time. Sometimes it's while we're falling asleep. And so we don't get through the rosary, which is fine. The angels finish it for us. And I am a huge fan, and I really do kind of credit survival in college and young adulthood to daily mass. You can't give what you don't have. You're exactly right. And the Eucharist is our greatest source of both grace and comfort and fuel. And so for years, I went to daily mass here in our diocese at noon. The cathedral's been shut down and they've had the mass right across the street. And so I kind of swapped over to my local parish as a 5:30 evening mass. But I'm fortunately able to get back to that noon mass these days because we're open again. But daily mass, I think, even if the homily is not great, or even if it's only like 25 minutes, or even if I'm the youngest person in there by 15 years, that daily mass kind of keeps me rooted and grounded. Now that's a day in the life when I'm home in Lake Charles, Louisiana. When I'm on the road, it looks vastly different because your schedule is all wacky and you're oftentimes pouring a lot of energy out into both your events and conversations with people, or even just traveling, which, yeah, when you're traveling, you're doing a lot of sitting, but it's like, it's unproductive sitting. Like you can't do anything really. Like, yeah, you can respond to emails and get some writing done and like scroll through your phone and post things. But you're just kind of on edge wondering if the flight's going to take off on time or are you going to make your connection? And that's exhausting. And so what I've recently discovered is that while I'm traveling, keeping a rosary just in my pocket, and when I find I'm beginning to get a little stressed or a little anxious or a little annoyed, or I kind of just need a moment, just even just holding on to the rosary, like even if I'm not praying it, but just holding on to it or just like running through the beads with just like a quick Jesus, I trust in you on each bead, kind of gives me a moment of calm and gives me a moment to recenter. Prayer is obviously not just recentering, it's a lifting of the heart. But I think as we lift our heart to the Lord, it allows us to remain grounded here in this life.
Beautiful. I actually have some of my most fruitful conversations with God in the sky. I don't know what it is about. I'm always a window seat person. And I just, I actually thank him frequently for the gift of being in the air with him with no connectivity. I never get the Wi-Fi on board, and just the time to kind of intentionally quiet ourselves. I realize I should do it when I'm on the ground more frequently, but it's always fruitful time for me. I know that, you know, one of the things about life as a busy mom and a working mom, although every mom works, is that so oftentimes, you know, we may have a schedule, but our schedule is at the mercy of those we serve. And so, you know, we can tell ourselves, well, I'm going to do XYZ every day. And there's no 2 days that are the same. So I love
absolutely.
That. I love that.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about any big speaking engagements that you have coming up. We watched you this summer be all over the place because of it was sort of the season for that. Are you? Are there any places where people can catch you this fall?
Yeah, so I'll be in England once in October and once in November. I'm not entirely sure that they're public events, but it's England, so I'm over there.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
Come say hi. An event with Catholic schoolgirls in the northern part of England in October, and then I'll be with a bunch of school teachers in November in the southern part of England. And all that information is on my website at katieprejean.com. But then my biggest one this fall, and I'm really, really excited about this, I'm hosting the National Catholic Youth Conference in November. So 25,000 young people.
What?
At Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And that's open to teenagers and their chaperones. And you register through your diocese. Pretty much every diocese in the country goes, as far as I know, most of them, at least like 85% go. So you can find a group to go with. And that event changed my life when I was in middle school and high school. I've been every year, save for a couple of years when I was in college and then one year that there was a hurricane. And it's an incredible event. And so it's a huge honor to get to host it with my friend, Father Agostino Torres, one of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal up in the Bronx. And it's going to be an incredible 3 days. We've got Immaculée, Illy Beguiza is one of the keynotes, Sister Bethany Madonna from the Sisters of Life, Mark Hart. We've got music with Sarah Kroger and Ike Ndolo, and all that information can be found on ncyc.info. And you can find out how to register and when it is. And it's right before Thanksgiving. It's the week before Thanksgiving. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible event.
If you can imagine for a moment, 26,000 youth and young adults and their loved ones on their knees on concrete in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, life-changing, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. And I'm so thrilled to hear that you're going to be that person down on that stage that we'll see on the Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've already picked out your cool outfit for
I'm working on it. I told my husband it's a round stage. And like most of the time on a stage, like you've got a background, but
yeah,
this
no.
is a round stage. So it is, I mean, it is an arena where NFL football is played. So there is no place to hide on that stage. So I'm going to have to figure something out. I might upgrade my Stitch Fix subscription and let them pick the clothes out for me.
That's going to be amazing, Katie. I'm so excited. And, you know, definitely want to have you say a word or two about your two books, Follow and Room 24, because I'm sure you're working on something new and I won't ask you about that. We'll save that for the next time. But what folks can discover when they pick up these really special books from Ave Maria Press?
Yeah. So Room 24 was my first, I think of it as like my first child. I mean, yes, Rose is my first like human child, but the first, and you know this, the first time you write a book, the first time you put something out into the world for people to see and kind of expose your heart, it's a uniquely terrifying experience and a glorious thing when you start getting those emails of like, this book helped me, this book challenged me, this book changed my perspective. So Room 24 is a snapshot of kind of the 10 principles of evangelization that can be implemented in a classroom setting. But I've also been told by countless people that it's been useful for youth ministers, for DREs, for catechists, for just parents in general who want to know how to talk to their teenager about Jesus. And I tell those principles of ministry and evangelization through stories of moments with my students in my classroom. Follow is very much a follow-up to that. So once you've learned how to articulate Jesus to young people, both in your witness and in methodology within that teaching, you also have to challenge young people to take that step and get to know him themselves. And so Follow is very much a answering two questions book. Who is Jesus and how can I get to know him? And so the premise of Follow is that a teenager, a young adult, again, a bunch of parents have told me that they found it useful as well, can pick it up and kind of start their journey into relationship with Jesus. So I believe it's on its fourth printing right now from Ave Maria Press. I'd have to double check on that. But it just won an award from the Association of Catholic Publishers for Teen Book of the Year, which I was really, really excited about. So I can say it's an award-winning book. And I wish I could pass it out more like candy. Sometimes you like hesitate to do so. It's like, oh, here's my book. You don't want to be arrogant. But it's the book that I tell people to pick up if they really want to get to know Jesus in their life.
Beautiful. And am I correct in that you did a project with Tommy as well?
I did. Yeah. We have a Lent book. So Lent, one day at a time for Catholic teens. So it's just daily reflections for young people every day of Lent, like 5 minutes in the morning. We're actually working on the Advent one now to come out Advent 2020. And I just pitched a children's book to the Sisters, the Daughters of St. Paul. So we'll see where that goes. And I'm also working on a book about Mary with Ave Maria Press as well.
Nice. That is so fantastic. Katie, the time always flies by, but I'm just so psyched to have friends go over and check out, especially Ave Explores. And I just want to say thank you for being such a light, for the energy that you share, for your vulnerability, for the joy of seeing Rose dance that always makes me smile, and just for the great work that you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, friend. Thanks for having me. There are women that I look up to, and you are on my list. And I know that it's possible to both have it all and do it all because you've done it. And so I'm grateful for your witness as well.
Well, thanks. Let's keep each other in prayer. Our guest this week again has been Katie Prejean McGrady. Katie, are there any kind of closing thoughts that you want to share with those that are out there listening?
Pray the rosary and read the gospel, friends. That'll keep you rooted.
Amen. Amen to that. Again, you can catch up with Katie through the links that we'll have in our show notes over at lisahendy.com. But do not miss out on the opportunity to check out and be a part of Ave Explores, dropping this October from Ave Maria Press. That is it for this week's episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. Want to thank my friends at Breadbox Media for their production assistance and just in general for helping keep me sane with this podcast. And I want to encourage you that if you've enjoyed this, maybe you pass it along to a friend this week. If there's something that you would like to hear about on the podcast, you can reach out to me on social media at Lisa Hendy or through the website. Until next week, have an awesome week, friends. God bless.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.